Lake Effect continues now on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Actor Michael York is known for heralded roles in films as diverse as Cabaret, Logan's Run, and the Austin Powers movies. But today, the actor hopes to stand in a spotlight of a different kind.
York, who suffers from a rare condition called amyloidosis, is in Milwaukee this morning to launch the Renewal Project. It seeks to raise awareness and research dollars for the condition.
The project is based at the Medical College of Wisconsin, where Dr. Parameswaran Hari is a leading researcher into the disease.
York stopped by the studio, and project coordinator Paul McComas joins us by phone. Michael York, what is amyloidosis?
Well, it's quite rare, that's one thing, and very hard to diagnose and pin down. It's sort of related to multiple myeloma. It's a disorder of the blood plasma, but unlike multiple myeloma, it's not a cancer, but just as dangerous. What it does is deposit amyloids in the system. Amyloids are these sticky deposits. And basically what it does, it shuts you down. These parts, you know, stop working. And the body doesn't know it's happening. This is the terrible thing. It doesn't fight back. It's insidious in that respect. And the thing is that usually by the time you get a correct diagnosis, it's too late.
Right. Michael, you've said in the past that it's weirdly appropriate for an actor to have it because it's sort of an impersonator of a condition, isn't it?
It's a perfect actor's disease. It's a mimic. It mimics other illnesses. So another factor making it difficult to pin down.
Is it a genetic disease or do they know?
I'm not sure. There are five kinds of amyloidosis. The most familiar is AL. It's the light chain version, which most people have, including me. But there is a familial version. There's five others. But by and large, the big one is AL amyloidosis, and tremendous research going on now. This is what's so exciting about our initiative, that it's, you know, it's primed at a time when significant things are happening all over the world. It's so rare. It's 150,000 people in the United States and Europe combined. Wow. So I consider myself incredibly lucky to, you know, to have had finally the correct diagnosis.
Bonnie, you know that expression that doctors often cite, if you hear hoofbeats, think horses, not zebras.
Mm-hmm.
That usually it's what you'd expect it to be. And that's, again, what's so insidious is that this is the zebra. You know, every now and then it's not what you expect. It's something like amyloidosis. As Michael and I, working with Dr. Hari at Medical College of Wisconsin, raise awareness, in addition to funding research, I think that more physicians and more medical professionals in general will have amyloidosis on their minds as a possibility and recognize it sooner. One of the real problems is that it's recognized in some cases too late, if at all, and meanwhile other treatment regimens have been initiated as if it's cancer, myeloma, something like that.
Yeah.
Michael, you were misdiagnosed, what, 2-3 times before
happened about some considerable time, years, 3-4 years. But I knew something was going wrong because my amyloidosis was in the soft tissue of the eyes. There's this dark circles and then purple deposits. In a way, that was good because had it been in an organ like the heart or the liver or whatever, it would have just gone on and on and on.
They might never have found it.
No, exactly.
Right.
This is exactly what happens. So in a way, it was lucky that it was visible. And I was very lucky to get diagnosed in time to have one of the key remedies for it. You know, I had chemotherapy to start with. It didn't really help. But a stem cell transplant was the answer.
Mm-hmm.
You go in with a faulty immune system, you know, the chemo shuts it down, it's destroyed, they put back the stem cells, and it creates a brand new, hopefully fault-free system.
And so, in a sense, you have been cured.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because I was at the Mayo Clinic where I had the operation 2 years ago last summer. I was there last week getting a checkup, because it can come back. But I'm happy to report to everyone that it was, what they used to say, two thumbs up.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah.
So successful. Well, that's a wonderful That's a wonderful thing. But the thing that I think is so terrifying for anyone who's listening is the fact that it is such a stealthy thing and that so many people are not aware of it in the medical profession, or they're not aware enough of it.
Yeah. If we could separate our emotions of being aghast at it on a purely scientific level, it's pretty fascinating. You know, there aren't a lot of conditions like it. But stealthy, insidious, but ultimately treatable if recognized in time. Michael is the second person that I've known who's had it, and the first was a dear friend, Sheldon Miller. He was the chair of psychiatry at Northwestern Medical School for many years and basically the founder of the subspecialty of addiction psychiatry. And I remember all the kind of furrowed brows and hand-wringing that was going on as we saw Shelley begin to deteriorate and things that they were trying weren't working. And this is a man who was connected to, you know, the best medical institutions in the Midwest. And by the time they recognized this as amyloidosis, it was running rampant in his heart, and then it was just really a matter of weeks.
Yeah, well, I keep coming across more and more cases like that. Tragic. And so... I think I've been reprieved for the moment, Molly. So I think I want to use this time to raise awareness. And I go now to medical meetings and I talk to people. They write to me and so on to get the word out. And that's why I consider this initiative so important, that here in Wisconsin there's going to be a point of reference, that Dr. Hari will be not specializing, but he will make a point of studying amyloidosis.
Right, which he does already, but we'll be providing additional funding and I think crucially a spotlight on the condition, on Michael's successful struggle with it, so that he might serve as a role model to others and an inspiration to others. And then Dr. Hari's research already underway will receive additional support and attention.
So, Michael, if somebody is listening and thinking, I wonder if this is something that I have, from your experience, and I realize that there are different types of amyloidosis, but was there anything that gave you a clue that something is wrong and I need to pursue this even though people are telling me there's nothing wrong?
Well, there was the physical thing of the eyes, you know, and the purpley patches, mm-hmm. and also that terrible feeling of when you losing your energy, knowing that you are being involuntarily shut down. And, it was a quest to find this answer. And I was very lucky. Again, I have a very proactive wife who who wouldn't take no for an answer. And she found this extraordinary Dr. Robert Kyle at the Mayo Clinic, who's 85. He's invented most of the procedures in multiple myeloma and amyloidosis. And he spoke to her and he said, well, can I see his blood work? And Pat sent it. And he said, well, I don't think you've got a multiple myeloma. I think it's more like amyloidosis. Come to the Mayo. We'll check it out. And I went, and sure enough. He said, we're pretty good at what we're doing here. Why should you come back and have this stem cell transplant, which was in July of, as I said, 2012.
So there is hope for people who are dealing with this. It's just getting the right diagnosis.
Getting the word out, yes. No, there's more and more hope. And as I said, I go to these medical conferences and the new things that are happening. There's research in England, for example, the great amyloidosis hospitals are, well, the Mayo, Boston, and the Royal Free in London. And I went to the Royal Free. It's very exciting what they're doing. They're working on a drug, as they are doing it here, to get rid of the amyloid deposits. So, because I don't know how long it's going to take for these, you know, you can see sitting in front of these dark deposits. To finally leave. I don't care if they don't. Who cares? I'm alive. So,
right.
And the dark glasses were invented for a reason.
Michael's maintained a wonderful sense of humor through this. I think at one point he said, casting agents, if you're You've got a part for a man of a certain age with dark glasses and a gravelly voice. You know, I'm prepared to play any number of mafia dons.
I'm ready. I'm ready. Yeah. Has it affected your career, sir? Have you been unable to take parts because of this disease?
Oh, yes. Yes, but, you know, I worked intensely. I mean, I have a great carpe diem philosophy. I was always very busy, and because I enjoyed it. I love what I did. But yes, I stopped in my tracks and sidelined. But then a year after my stem cell operation, when I was still pretty tender and not back yet, I was asked to do at the Kennedy Center for a gala to play Colonel Pickering in My Fair Lady. And to get back on the stage, sing one song, you know, get laughs from the audience, it was a tonic. So I know that, you know, I am getting back there, but as you can hear, my voice is not what it was. And but that's all right. Maybe there's a higher purpose I've been diverted to, and the best role I'm ever going to have is to, you know, be a spokesperson for other people who have this.
Paul, how did you meet Michael? And Michael, how did you meet Paul? How did this partnership come together?
Oh, yes. Well, the title of the initiative is Renewal. Paul, explain.
It's an acronym, and it stands for Research Exploring New Amyloidosis Learning. But in addition, the word renewal has special importance for fans of Logan's Run, the 1976 hit science fiction film.
Big fan here, by the way.
Yes. All right. Michael was Logan, and, you know, the movie called Logan's Run is not going to work unless you have a very good actor in the title role. But your renewal in the film had a couple of meanings. It was this myth put forth by the dystopian society depicted, this death at 30 society, the myth that if you submitted and allowed yourself to be terminated at age 30, that you would somehow be magically reincarnated into one of the babies born that day. But there's also an authentic renewal, I think, that becomes apparent over the course of the film. And Logan and his lover Jessica escape the society and discover authenticity in the form of love for one another and the natural world, and ultimately feel compelled to go back and save those that they've left behind. And that's the true renewal that stands in contrast to the false myth of renewal that they've been kind of brainwashed and conditioned into following. They rebel. So coming around to what we're doing, you know, people who are struggling with amyloidosis need an opportunity, I think, to reboot and to refresh, to obtain something that has been denied them, much like those people in the movie have been denied a full life, being cut short at 30. People with amyloidosis are potentially being denied a full life by this disease, and we're funding research and raising awareness in order to try and get them out of the domed city, I guess.
But perhaps we should explain how it brought us together.
Yeah.
Because last year, I was contacted by Paul, who had written a sequel to Logan's Run called Logan's Journey. And I read it, it was rather good. It wasn't quite ready for working on last year, nor was I, for that matter. So we stayed in touch, and then I told him I'd written a book about my whole adventure in amyloidosis called Adventures in Healing, from the Mayo Clinic to John of God, because I'd had both extremes of therapy, the most orthodox and the most unorthodox, going down to see a great healer in Brazil. And it worked. I'm not sure which was responsible mostly.
Or both, maybe.
Or both. Yeah. The synergy between the both. And so he said, because it was about amyloidosis, he said, I'm fascinated by this and would like to help. And Paul administers a fund. Well, and this is your bit,
yeah.
Paul. Explain.
Sure. I'm the trustee of a charitable trust that is able to distribute a certain amount of money annually and it has to be toward Wisconsin-based organizations. So I started talking with Michael about the possibility of finding a way to do something about amyloidosis within Wisconsin. Thought that maybe there would be something at UW-Madison or possibly at Frater, to Columbia St. Mary's. Michael consulted his friend, Muriel Finkel, of Amyloidosis Support Groups, Inc., and she said, you know, try this Dr. Hari. I've had some interactions with people who speak very highly of him. As soon as Michael and I saw the credentials, I think we both were really excited and encouraged. And then subsequently, I met with him, and we talked with him together on a teleconference, and it did not take very long after that to decide this is where we wanted to, this was the basket for our eggs. And so I'm able, through this trust, to provide some initial funding, and we're hoping that Michael's celebrity and his passion about this, combined with Dr. Hari's work and the attention that the medical college is giving to Renewal, we hope that all of that together will sort of snowball in a wonderful way, raising awareness and funds.
So best case scenario for you, Michael, is that this starts a much bigger effort. Would that be fair?
Yes, I mean, yeah. That would be a consummation devoutly to be wished, as Hamlet put it. Who knows what giant oak trees grow from these acorns? I was with Sherry Lansing, who's a friend of mine, who in fact was a producer on Logan's Run, the original, back at MGM. We worked together. She started when she, you know, she was head of Paramount and, you know, very big deal, respected in Hollywood. She started something called Stop Cancer. And I actually went to a dinner for it a couple of weeks ago. And it's now this major organization that grew out of this initiative. So, you know, I'm very hopeful that, I'd like to think the same thing could happen. Well, there's a need for it, Bonnie. That's if there wasn't, if it was just an indulgence, you know. No, there's a real, real need to get the word out.
Michael York and Paul McComas, I want to thank you both so much for talking with me today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bon.
It's a real pleasure.
Michael York is a critically acclaimed film and stage actor who suffers from the condition amyloidosis. Milwaukee native Paul McComas is an author and musician and the trustee for the Lonsdorf Charitable Trust, which provided the seed money for the Renewal Project. They're appearing this morning at an amyloidosis event at the Medical College of Wisconsin.
One more break and then a look at some of the best new restaurants in and around Milwaukee with dining critic Ann Christensen. That's when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.